Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City, the only podcast from Jendel. Don't forget your spacesuit.
Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me is Mr. Jody Have Not.
Greetings, Kiss Army.
And Mr. Sunny Hollywood Pooney.
So the best line of the weekend was, give me a Les Paul or give me nothing.
It's so true. And last week I told you guys that Andrew Kiss was going to come on with us, but man, we had a really crazy week, so we had to change our plans, so Andrew's going to come on with us next week, but our special guest this week, because we are foursome, if that doesn't sound dirty, is all the way from Kiss FAQ, Mr. Lonnie, you know what, I don't know how to say your last name.
No one knows how to say my last name, so it's cool. I'm like Prince, I just go by one name, just call me Lonnie.
Lonnie. Kiss FAQ, thank you for coming on with us, man.
Yeah, you're welcome. And you know what? I got to correct Sonny right off the bat, because the best line of the weekend was not what Ace Frehley said. The best line of the weekend was something Gene Simmons said on Saturday, and it was after a gentleman proposed to his girlfriend in front of Gene. He says, as a man, that he makes 100 million sperm a day, and he wants to give all of them to you.
Yeah. That's the
line of the weekend. Look, Lonnie, this is a family show, baby. Not hey, how to make a family show.
So that proposal that Lonnie was talking about, I actually got a message from the guy that was going to do it before he did it.
Yeah?
Yeah, his name is Ken. Ken Withers. He sent me a message, and he was like, Joe, are you here? And I was like, no, he was like, he said he saw Jody, and he said he saw Ken, and he was like, I'm about to propose to my girlfriend, and I sent him back a message. I was like, holy shit, dude, that is amazing.
It really was.
It was awesome.
So yeah, Ken, you know, hey, congratulations from all of us. That was a huge step. And he told me that the ring was going to be in the special compartment.
Yeah, it was in the secret compartment of the vault that was on stage. It was super cool. It was a nice way to do it.
Pretty sweet.
There was a guy
sweet.
To our left that actually was like crying a little bit. I'm not going to reveal any names, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Ken was crying?
Was it Ken? Lonnie and I were kind of like, it was weird because since we weren't doing the vaults and we were kind of like just kind of there as like Ace's helpers or however you want to say it. We were like kind of always being told to kind of stand in the back, you know what I mean? So
yeah.
We were kind of just like observing from the distance, but it was super cool. I was so happy to be there, man.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
Yeah, so in case you haven't figured it out, that's what we're talking about today. Jody and Lonnie got to be like, man, they got to help out Ace 2 days in a row at a private party or a, you know, get-together and at a vault. And I guess all I want to do is hear now how it all, you know, how this all happened and how, I mean... Just go to it, man. Just you guys.
Well, the story starts with Lonnie pinging me and saying, "Look, man."
Yeah, my buddy Joe Odell, who runs the Gene Simmons Vault Club on Facebook, presented me an opportunity, and he said, "Hey, if you know anybody else, let me know." And I had seen Jody whining and crying on Twitter the other day about not being able to do the vault, and I immediately thought of him, and I said, hey man, you know, Ace is going to need some help this weekend. If you're interested, let me know. And he's like, hell yeah. And we jumped on
it. That's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And we went to town, and we got to be a part of the vault experience with Gene, and when Ace came in, assist him. And then we had a private event today just for Ace Frehley, where he signed autographs and played for like 15 people. It was the most intimate kiss thing you could ever possibly dream of experiencing in your entire life. It was amazing.
Yeah. Now that I'm home and I'm kind of like decompressed, it's like, holy shit, dude, that actually just happened. Like I brought in my half stack and my Les Paul. Joe had a couple of Les Pauls there because Ace decided he wanted to play at the last minute, right? And I was already on my way there, and Lonnie hits me up. He's like, Ace is going to play. Because Joe and I had this conversation at like 8 o'clock this morning. I'm like, so how are we doing this? He's like, we're not. I'm like, okay, whatever. But then I'm on the way there. Lonnie hits me up. He's like, it's on. So I had to turn around, go back, grab my shit, which was perfectly fine. Still made it before Ace did. And
imagine that.
So I set up and like Ace played my fucking Les Paul through my amp, and like he sat there and talked to me about guitars, and like he loved my guitar because it really resonates, you know what I'm saying? It's a custom shop Les Paul it's a new one that I just got. Like,
all right, okay, so we're getting a little ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I'm all excited, dude. Sorry.
I know you are. Let's go back one day. Okay.
Oh yeah.
So you guys are at the vault. You guys are at the vault thing. I can tell you that I did see the news story that was on, and Jody's in the back of the room.
Jody and I are in the back.
Yeah, and Milani and Ryan Cook and that Marcus guy.
People, it was pretty awesome. So
let's back up one day prior to that. On Friday, Ace Frehley came into town, and he needed something to do Friday night. And my buddy Joe Adele is like, well, I don't know what there's to do in town. There's a hockey game, and I'm already interested in going to the hockey game. And he goes, yeah, that would be fun. So Joe called up the St. Louis Blues and said, hey, I have Ace Frehley, the original guitarist from Kiss. He's interested in going. They set him up with a suite, and they went to the game. They parked in the back, like where the players parked, took a private elevator up to the suite, and this is the God's honest truth. By coincidence, I took my wife to the hockey game Friday night. And I was texting with Joey. Him and I just bullshit with each other back and forth all the time. And he's like, you're at the game? I go, yeah. And he goes, dude, I'm sitting in a box with Ace Frehley. Look to your – because where are you sitting at? And I tell him, and he goes, look to the Walmart sign. I'm right above that. And I'm like, oh, my God. And he's sitting there with Ace Frehley at the freaking hockey game. So
you gotta love it.
He texts me again like 20 minutes later. He goes, get your phone out. They're going to put us up on the Jumbotron. So about 2 minutes later, they play Rock and Roll All Night. And I'm like, oh, here it comes. And they put Ace Frehley up on the Jumbotron. And Joe's sitting in the background with him. It was the biggest cheer of the whole night from that crowd. It was awesome.
Cool.
That and the Blues didn't give you anything to cheer about because they lost 4-0. So.
Okay, so that, so
yeah, Saturday right. morning rolls around. So that, the first thing that I see is the picture that Lonnie took on Facebook. I'm like, holy shit, there's Joe and Ace at the fucking Blues game. Damn, this dude. Right? Exactly. The whole weekend it was just like, damn, this dude. He's just living this perfect Kiss weekend. Like, Lonnie and I's was pretty great, but Joe's was just off the fucking chain. But anyways, so Saturday rolls around. We show up to the vault thing, right?
It was raining.
Dude, it was cats and dogs all day long.
So it's raining. And, well, Joe, you got there before I did. And you saw Gene and Joe earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm standing outside. Ken Mills, we just kind of got him inside and everything. And so I'm just like standing around outside because I knew he was coming sooner or later. Plus, I wanted to take a smoke break. And all of a sudden, this black vehicle rolls up as Gene. He's like fucking with me and this girl about smoking. I'm like, whatever. As he gets out, get the fist bump, and I look, and it's freaking Joe's driving the vehicle. I'm like, this dude. Once again, you know? And all weekend long, it was just, that was the saying in my head. And so it was super cool. Gene comes in, bumps everybody, gives Ken Mills a huge hug, which was really cool because he knows Ken's been, you know, not feeling so well. And he's getting better, though. He is getting better, folks. It was good to see him. But so Gene gives him this big hug and then just kind of goes up to the third floor where the whole thing was happening. And eventually Lonnie shows up. We're kind of like milling around. We didn't really know how we were doing it because we weren't there exactly to get a vault, you know. So we were kind of like, what are we doing? We were like the last dudes that went in. And it was great, man. You could take it from there, Lonnie.
Yeah, so the day starts. Jody and I are just kind of standing in the back because we're nobody. We're not getting a vault or anything. We're just kind of hanging out, just kind of being there for whatever needs to be done, whatever anybody says, hey, do this, do that. Jody and I are on it type thing. But Gene comes out, and he does like a little storyteller's deal at the beginning of the night, at the beginning of the day. And talks a little bit about St. Louis, talks about Chuck Berry, talks about how he learned how to write songs and this and that. And it was cool. Played a little Dr. Love with a member from his solo band. And he was on stage for about, I don't know, I guess about an hour or so, just kind of talking and kind of BSing around and playing some chords and playing snippets of some songs. And then he went to start the vault experience. And I guess that's about, I don't know, maybe noon or so that he starts doing that.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, Joe goes and he's going to go pick up Ace Frehley at his hotel. And it's a crappy day in St. Louis. It's just pouring rain all day. And Joe's going to go get him. He's on his, and he's getting ready to, he picks him up. He's coming back and he texts me and he goes, Ace needs an umbrella. Find an umbrella and meet me in front of the building in 15 minutes. I'm like, where the fuck am I going to find an umbrella in 15 minutes in this building? So I'm like scrambling. I can't find the promoter. I can't find anybody. I walk downstairs, talk to the security guard. I go, do you have an umbrella by chance? And he goes, no. And some of the people who work in the building heard me ask him. They go, oh, you need an umbrella? I go, yeah. I go, Ace is on his way. He needs an umbrella when he gets out of the vehicle. And they're like, wait right here. We'll be right back. And I'm like, God, I hope they come back. And 10 minutes later, and like a couple minutes later, they came back and they had two umbrellas. I'm like, perfect. So I got two umbrellas. I'm waiting. Jody's standing outside. He's all prepped and ready to go. And
we don't want the spaceman to get wet at all.
Of course. He might melt or some shit like that. So, again, Joe pulls up in a black vehicle. And I run outside, got the umbrella up, open up the door, and Ace goes, hey. And I go, how you doing, sir? I didn't know what the fuck to say to him. So here's your umbrella. He takes it, walks in. I was like, gets stuck in the doorway, just kind of drops it in my hands.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, and then Jody has footage of me trying to close an umbrella, which is kind of comical, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, he walks in. It was just no big deal to him. And I'm like,
yeah, freaking out a little bit.
Like, oh my gosh. And we're standing there waiting for him to go up the elevator. And like, we're just standing there in the lobby. He's standing in the lobby with us. We're like the only ones in there. And Joe and his girlfriend take him up in the elevator. And we're like, and I go to Joe Day. I go, okay, run up the stairs. We're going to meet him at the top. So like, we like haul ass up the stairs.
We sprinted up three flights of stairs and like, met them right as they came off the elevator.
As soon as we got the stairs, we opened the door, and there he is. Like, yeah, hey!
Right in your fucking face. It's great.
I find it hard to believe that Jody sprinted.
I did.
I can believe that.
Hey, what venue was this at?
It was at a place called 303 on Locust Street in...
It was like a multi-use building because the second floor was a record store. The first floor had like a theater that people could have plays in, a restaurant. And then on the third floor, I don't know what they really use that for on a normal day, but it was just kind of like a loft with a lot of windows. And
somebody told me they used to use the third floor like for raves and shit like that.
I could totally see that
in that big room where Gene played at.
Yeah.
So it was a multi-purpose building, record store on the second floor. I had actually never been to the place before. It was real close to St. Louis University.
Yeah, right down the street from FUBAR, too.
Correct. Yeah. It was nice.
So I guess one of the questions that I wanted to ask you guys, because he took questions, of course, and I know that Jody asked about the St. Louis Kite Fest, and Jody said he didn't really have a lot of information about that. But anybody ask any question, you go, yeah, that's a good question, or ooh, I can't believe he asked that question, or anything like that? Or was it the same stock question?
Someone even asked, like, what made you guys decide to put on the makeup? And Gene goes,
yeah,
I think there's about 100 books about that.
Yeah.
I was like, thank you. Jesus, are you serious? I think that a lot of people buy in vaults.
Why did you guys start putting makeup on?
Yeah, I think a lot of people buy in vaults are like, you know, kind of tire kickers that just want to meet the guy from Family Jewels, dude. Seemed like some of those people were.
It reminded me a lot of the crowd that's on the Kiss Cruise, where, yeah, there's some of the people are hardcore, diehard fans, and some of the people were just like, I don't know what to do with my money type people.
Right. Yeah, there was definitely a few of those there Saturday, yesterday. Because, yeah. I mean, I would think that if you're at a vault thing, you already know the answer about the makeup and all the history and every little bit, you know? I mean,
you know all the minutia, to steal a word from another show.
Right. But yeah, I mean, totally. That kind of blew my mind that someone stood up and asked that. I was just like, are you fucking serious? Yeah. We just gave each other a look like, seriously? Yeah.
It happened a little bit in L.A. too. So I think what Lonnie's saying is right, is that you got the hardcores, and then they're bringing either a significant other or a friend that might not be a hardcore. Because the lady sitting next to me, when Bruce Kulick went up on stage and gave Gene a pick, she's like, who's that guy and why is he sitting down? And yeah. I'm like, lady, are you serious right now?
He's in the band for 12 freaking years.
I know.
Right. Some people, just have money to burn.
I kind of think that from Kiss for Diehards, there's a lot of questions that to ask, you know, but so many, I mean, there's, like he said, there's so many books, so many interviews, so many things out there where, you know, all these, you have, first of all, you're going to have to be creative, you know? But, like, I don't know how I could, like, if I had an opportunity to ask Gene a question, I would try to be as bizarre as I could. You know what I mean? It's because, I mean, like, all right, so I asked Gene a question, and basically all I asked him was, did he ever meet a famous person, you know, that made him go, holy shit, I just met, you know, fill in the blank. But, like, I don't, you know, nowadays, it's like, it's so many questions have been answered, you know?
Yeah.
To answer your question on that, he mentioned the Dalai Lama a couple times yesterday.
That's what he said.
He was really impressed with the Dalai Lama when he met him.
That's the answer he gave me. He actually grabbed his phone, opened it up, and stood there and, like, thumbed through pictures and stopped at the Dalai Lama. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cool, you know?
Yeah.
The Brian Adams question had potential until the person said, the Brian Adams? It's like, dude, it's Brian Adams. Yes.
Yeah, we got totally off the rails.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The greatest part, though, was, like, Gene just happened to be rocking these weird, like, Hot in the Shade style white sneakers, you know? We're so used to seeing him.
Yeah, he's wearing, like, Reebok pumps from 1988 is what he was wearing.
I haven't seen him in tennis shoes in at least 20 years.
That was the first thing I noticed when he jumped out of that black whatever vehicle.
That's the first thing you said to me yesterday.
Did I?
Yeah. Gene's wearing Reebok pumps from 1988.
That was just weird. And then everyone was, I guess, talking about it because Gene was like, all right, here's my shoes. He made a big deal out of it. And then just by chance, Ace had brought him like some golden, some kind of like fancy shoes of some sort. But it was just so weird to see him in like white tennis shoes. I'm so used to those boots, you know? Not necessarily the demon boots, but, you know, like just his cowboy boots or whatever.
He's wearing boots.
Yeah. It was a weird look, man. It was like Jerry Seinfeld almost. It just struck me as very odd.
It was very unusual.
Like he forgot his shoes and somebody,
I don't know. Maybe he didn't want to get his boots wet because it was like a freaking river down that street.
And it rained like the whole freaking weekend until today.
Yeah. Today it was nice today. So I was thankful for that. But yeah, it was crazy, those freaking shoes. But there was a couple of funny things that happened, like Ace singing all these songs. It was fucking hilarious.
And yeah, Ace starts singing God of Thunder. Yes. And starts singing Firehouse.
It was really funny, man. And I think he knew, because he could hear everybody like roaring, because it was hilarious, and everyone thought it was. And so he just kept going with it. It was so funny. And he mentioned that Bob Ezrin was the reason he started doing coke.
He goes, well, I never did cocaine until I met Bob Ezrin. And Gene goes, okay, let's say that's true.
It was pretty cool.
Did you guys meet anybody or talk to anybody right after they got their vault? Did anybody come up to you and say, hey, man, you're never going to believe what was in my vault, you know?
No. I asked a few people. But no
one guy got a towel from Australia.
Yeah, like a
from
1980 towel. Yeah, that was like the coolest thing I heard about.
That was cool. Joe got some popcorn bags from 1980 in Australia, and there's like images of Paula Jean, Ace, and Eric Carr on this popcorn bag. I'd never seen that before. Wow. And then he also got this belt with a Kiss belt buckle in this nice little box. It's really, really cool. I don't know. Those are the two things that really stood out to me that people said. I didn't hear, and at the same time, I didn't hear like somebody got like some Hello Kitty type crap or anything like that either. So I didn't hear anything like really, really extraordinary, like a demon boot or something like that. And I didn't hear anything really, really crappy like Hello Kitty or some Spencer stuff or anything.
I really think that Ken Keenan got that, you know, he got that boot. I think it's because
that's
they
so
knew
cool.
He fucking waited so long. I was like, dude, we gotta make this right.
So yeah, he got the best one I've seen.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. It's fucking awesome. But yeah, so the day was, you know, it was awesome. But the worst part of that whole day was, like, we were sent to go get some food for people, right? Lonnie and I. They're like, go down to this Poppy's and get Valcourt this, what was it, burned ribs or whatever?
Burnt ends.
So we're like, yeah, no problem. You know, because Gene was signing this thing and Ace had already dipped. So we were just like, we didn't really have anything to do, really. I just kind of hung out with the Podfather, shot the shit with the sound dude, and just was bored, really. So it was like, cool, we got something to do, but we get over there, and it was like the freaking Atlanta, dude. The line to that place was like the freaking Expo. It was ridiculous, dude. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, it reminded me of Atlanta, the line at Pappy's. It was out the door.
Now I'm going to know what burnt is on there.
Except I didn't wait in line 7 hours for these burnt ends.
Burnt ends are really good. They're like these juicy pieces of rib that are really saucy. They're really good, actually.
Cool. Fantastic.
At that time, like, we were like driving around trying to find them. There was nowhere to park, so I'm like, I'm going to get out. I'm going to freaking wait in this line. And Lonnie decides he's going to go park and run back over there. And meanwhile, I get the call that Amber's on the way to grab me, and I'm like, fuck. I'm halfway through this line, so I had to find Lonnie and be like, dude, I got to go back over there. And so I don't know how long it took you. How long did it take you, Lonnie?
Oh, I was in line for a good while. Even to the fact where Joe, he's like, dude, where are you? I'm like, I'm still in freaking line.
Oh, my God.
It's like the story of my life. I'm still in line. So,
jeez, man. Because I sat there while you left. It was maybe, what, 10 minutes, 15 tops?
Right.
And I had moved like maybe 10 to 15 feet, and I started outside of the door. Mm-hmm. And they were like, it was wrapping around this corner and shit. It was crazy, dude. I've never seen anything like that just for some fucking burnt
some
ends
barbecue
or whatever. Yeah.
So,
but while you were there, you also got to Ken Mills was there, the Podfather, right?
Yeah. Ken was there.
And he got his vault.
He told me what he got, but I can't freaking remember right now. What a special thing was. It wasn't anything mind-blowing, or I would remember it. But it was cool.
You know what he had him sign or anything like that?
I think he had like a quote from Trial by Fire.
Really?
Yeah, like, you only got one life to live, gonna live it. Oh, yeah. Something like
all
that.
All right. That makes sense.
Cool. That's cool for him.
Yeah, plus he's always loved that song.
That's my favorite thing, actually, is to hear or to see what people have him write on top of their vault.
Yeah.
Even more so than the special gift. I'm always curious to see what people have him write.
Right. What did he write on yours, Sonny?
because I was still fumbling my words and trying to make sure I didn't throw up on him, he wrote, "You rock." Nice. So this, like, I think some of the things that folks are learning as they go on is you're seeing more and more like lyrics or a saying, and I wish I would have thought of that. I just hadn't thought of it.
I feel you.
Well, I think for your experience, you guys weren't expecting that. And you didn't have time to prepare.
Yeah, you get in that room, and, you know, for me, I had never met any of the KISS guys. So it's at 48 years old, you meet somebody that you've been listening to and seen on TV and blah, blah, blah all your whole life. And then, you know, that 5-6 minutes, man, it flies by so fast that if you don't have it somewhat planned, anything you don't have planned is probably not going to happen the way you want it.
Right. I like those lyric ideas. I saw someone that had something from God of Thunder, like, "I'm the Lord of the Wasteland," and "Modern Day Man of Steel." That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So, I think that I could have, "Joe, my tongue is bigger than yours, but your dick is bigger than mine."
Wow.
Gene Simmons. That would be the greatest thing ever, don't you agree?
That's pretty good.
I think he would write it, too.
He'd write it.
He'd laugh his ass off and then write it.
No, you got to get one, Joe, just to have him write it.
Damn! Oh, I still got a few months before it comes. I'm definitely going because my buddy Bruce invited me to go with him. And I'm, you know, my thing is I'm, you know, oh, okay, let's, new subject. I get hate mail.
Hey, it's Paul Stanley here on Podcast Rock City.
So, all right. So, you guys, that was Saturday, right? This morning, my phone, bing, boing, bing, it's Jody. He's ready to go.
Dude, I got like a crazy full night's sleep for the first time in years. And I'm like, holy shit, it's going down today. Because Saturday was fucking great, but I just knew in the back of my mind that Sunday was going to go down and we were going to get to go to this private thing, right? And there's only going to be like, you know, maybe 10, 15 of us. I think there was what, like 15, Lonnie?
Yeah, it's like 15 of us. So Ace did like this private event at this high-scale restaurant in a nice part of town. And Jody and I were invited to go. And it was the most intimate KISS experience that I've ever had. And probably I think that anybody could ever have. It was, you know, outside of doing the home vault experience and have Gene Simmons come to your house, in my opinion.
Totally.
It was the most intimate KISS experience you could ever imagine. There was like 15 of us at this high-scale restaurant.
And the doors are locked. Let me back up. They're not open.
And the doors are locked. Let me back up a minute.
Yeah, back it on up.
Let me back it up. So this morning, Jody had texted Joe last night, and Joe was like, no, it's not happening. He's not going to play anything. He's just going to show up and sign some autographs and shit. So this morning, I'm at the gym, and I'm running, and all of a sudden, Joe's calling me. And I'm like, well, I better answer it. And I go, hello, and I'm still running. And he goes, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm running. he goes, Ace wants to play some songs. Text Jody, tell him to get some amps, get some guitars, and meet us at the venue. And see if he has a mic and a mic stand too. And I'm like, okay. I hit stop. And I'm like, calling Jody, and he's not answering. I'm like, shit. So I'm like, out of there, coming back home. I got to get a shower. I got to get ready. He's still not answering me. I'm like texting him, calling him, nothing. What is this dude doing?
So I'm like rocking out. My music's too loud to hear my fucking phone, dude.
He calls me back. He goes, what's up? I go, dude, where are you at? And you're like, and he's like, I'm almost there. And I'm like, Ace wants to play. He wants an amp. He wants guitars. He wants a mic and a mic stand. And Jody's like, well, I got amps and guitars. I don't have a mic or a mic stand. I go, get what you can, because all of a sudden, this morning he decided he wants to play. And he goes to Amber, turn around.
I'm like, fuck, I just had this conversation this morning, you know. He's not doing it. And then he is doing it. So we're like, fuck, dude. I'm all stressed out because it's already like, what, 11:35, 11:40?
Yeah, and you were like, am I going to miss anything? I'm like, you're not going to miss anything. It's Ace Frehley. He's running late, believe me.
So. Right. That's one thing in the back of my mind. Even though we're stuck in fucking traffic on 40, I'm like, Ace is going to be late too. This is going to be cool because I'm going home to get a fucking Les Paul, my half stack and shit. I even brought like another little amp and... Joe had brought a couple Les Pauls and a badass black Explorer, like a Bruce style Explorer with the, you know, the chrome pickguard. Dude, it was badass. But Ace was like, Paul plays those. I don't mess with those.
I don't play that guitar. That Paul plays that.
Yeah. It was great. It was just so cool, man. I loaded in my gear. Ace is like showing up like maybe 3 minutes later. I get everything just set up, sort of. And, he's like, what, you got a Les Paul? And I'm like, yeah, check this one out. I break out my black Les Paul, which is a new one. It's like a custom shop Les Paul. You've seen it. It's badass. But anyways, he's like loving it, man. He's like, this thing really resonates. So I'm like, yeah, dude, this is the shit. Check it out. You know, and he's ripping up on my black Les Paul. It was, to me, it was like one of those moments. You know what I'm saying? I only play guitar because of Ace. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's the reason that I don't even have a Les Paul. Or even
I got some great pictures of you and Ace just sitting there, and you're like tuning his guitar, and he's like showing you shit. It's awesome.
Yeah.
So you did get pictures of him playing your guitars, right? Besides the super important, because when you will them to me, I could sell them with the picture, and then you'll get more money.
Right.
Dude, you will get more money,
dude. Our buddy Joe, at the end of the day, Ace is like, "Hey, you want me to sign one of those Les Pauls?" And of course, Joe's like, "Fuck yes." So yeah, like. Anyway, that's a side story. But yeah, Joe had one of his Les Pauls signed by Ace at the end of the day when everyone was gone. It was really cool. And it was Ace's idea. It was really cool. But anyways. So yeah, Ace is like wants to have some cappuccino, so
we want an espresso first. And they bring him this espresso and he sips it and goes, "This is horrible."
Yeah. It's really bitter. He said it's really bitter.
It's bitter, it needs sugar. Don't bring me that artificial stuff. I need the real sugar.
Yeah. So he's like sitting at this table. I'm like scrambling. He's like, "You got to tune this guitar down to E flat." I'm like, "Oh God, okay." Because my guitar is set up to play at 440. You know what I'm saying? And you know what? If you got it set up a certain way and it's had this tension for so long, when you tune it down, it doesn't want to stick right away.
Yeah.
So I'm like, "Fuck!" I'm stretching the shit out of the strings. Tuning it, retuning it, you know. I'm using Ace's snark that he pulled out of his pocket, by the way, which was like, use a snark? No way. You know?
He snark with him?
Yeah, it was in his pocket.
What color was it?
It was black.
Black. Okay.
Yeah. I gave it back to him. I was like, he wouldn't even notice, but I didn't want to be that guy, you know. But
you could have totally taken it because he's like, "Oh yeah, that is mine."
Yeah, for you guys out there that don't know what a snark is, it's like a clip-on tuner.
They're $10.
Yeah, and then it resonates to the tuner, so you can see what you're tuning to. That's important. Okay. Yeah.
So I take my guitar and I freaking tune it down to E flat for him, you know. And I'm thinking the whole time, "Damn it, dude." You know, because you know how a guitar is. It doesn't want to just automatically stay in a different tuning right away. Yeah, especially when someone else is playing it. But anyways, so I tune it down and I stretch the shit out of it. You know, like overbend it just to put it out of tune, just stretch it. Tune it like 5 times. I keep checking it. I'm playing Kiss tunes. I can notice people in the side room are digging. I'm playing like Mr. Speed and shit.
Play Mr. Speed, yeah.
Just various ones. Just trying to get a tone for Ace, you know. And I get it all down. It's tuned. It's sticking. It's fine. As soon as Ace starts playing it, he bends the fuck out of it. It goes right out of tune. And he's like, "I don't know, Curly." You know, he's like.
He's like, "This thing isn't tuned."
Yeah, I'm like, "Dude, it wasn't tuned." You know. So he's tuning it again. And he plays it for a while. Then he's like, let me try this other Les Paul. I'm like, "That's cool, dude. Whatever works for you." So I had to like do a quick on the fly setup of Joe's Les Paul because his saddles were sitting way, way, way too low. So it was totally fretting out. And Ace is like, this is buzzing and all this shit. So I do what I can to get it playable. It worked. And so Ace used that for most of the, pretty much all of his set, I'd say, wouldn't you say, Lonnie?
Yeah, for the majority of it.
Once he actually got started, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, one of the videos that I saw, he did a little bit of a song for a new record.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did played snippets of all kinds of shit. The new one was
like
called
Playing with the Boys or Out with the Boys or something like that.
Rocking with the Boys, I think.
He's like, it's going to be an anthem. I could see it being pretty cool. But yeah, he played like bits of Speeding Back to My Baby and
he's like, I don't know that song. I haven't played that in years.
He's totally playing it in the wrong key at first and shit. Oh, kept going, It's in G. He can't hear you. You know what I mean?
He can't hear you.
You really gotta yell at him to get his attention. Because even Joe would have to get right in his fucking ear to tell him what songs to play and shit. Because Kenny Begley kept asking for what was he asking for?
Fox on the Run.
Yeah.
And he goes, I recorded that in one day. I don't remember how to play that.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that on his video. So, all right. So I heard him saying stuff like, you know, I'm getting older and now all I want to do is make people happy. I mean, how would you say like his health was good? He looked thin.
I thought he looked great, man. Like he looked like his old self minus the makeup. You know, he had that lankiness that he always had back in the 70s, you know? But
for
you
sure.
can tell he on looked, his face that he's looking older, but, you know.
Sure, he's looking older. I mean, he's 65, and but you know what? He looked like Ace Frehley. He didn't look like the bloated version of Ace Frehley that we had seen in years past. He looked thin. He looked like you would think Ace Frehley would look. And he was in great spirits the whole weekend. He was joking around the whole time.
Yeah.
And just seemed really at ease and really comfortable.
He kept calling us the podcast guys. Oh, the podcast guys.
I had a FAQ shirt on, and he goes, what's your shirt say? And I go, Kiss FAQ podcast. And he goes, okay. Like, I don't know what the fuck that is.
I'll tell you why. He was sitting there thinking, does that say fuck you?
Probably. What does FAQ mean?
Yeah, that's probably what he was thinking. Fuck you. What?
But it was all cool. Right, I mean, we got to like hang out with Ace for like 2 fucking hours today and just like in a very chill environment where he was just like hanging out with us. It wasn't like some, I mean, there was a quick signing that seemed like a meet and greet, but the rest of it was just the dude was just hanging out with us, you know?
Yeah, and then I saw he wished a girl happy birthday. What was it, like her 18th birthday or something?
Yeah. It was Joe's daughter Sam's 18th birthday, so it was really cool.
That's a cool birthday present,
dude. Yeah, right.
Especially you know, when your dad, like, and her dad's such a huge Kiss fan as Joe is, so that was really cool.
Yeah. So you know, from the videos that I've seen so far, he really did look like he was. It was really strange because sometimes when I watch videos of him, I feel like I'm watching like Lucy try to put the candy away. You know when the of I Love Lucy, or yeah, I feel like he feels very awkward, or you know. But in these videos, he seemed very comfortable.
Yeah, he was super chill, but he kept drinking those damn espressos and the cappuccinos. He's like, "Am I gonna get all wired?" I was like, "You never know. You never know."
What surprised me about the videos is, you know, Ace can sometimes come off as, you know, I'm just a guitar player. You know, I never took a lesson. He doesn't always come off super educated. Doesn't always come off like he's super paying attention. But then he's talking about intonation and resonance, and it's like, okay, so he does know what he's doing. Why does he come off like that all the time?
He was like having his own little clinic there for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that too, and I was like, wow, this conversation just got really interesting. It's like when we met Gene, he started I have a video where he's talking about the bass, you know, the Punisher and how it's put together and how the kind of wood and he's like, it's put together where you can't feel any kind of crease or seam or edges. And he's like telling the guy, touch it, feel it. And I remember thinking, wow, this is really odd, this whole thing. But
yeah, I was having like my little gearhead heaven there today, man, like sitting on this little couch next to Ace. He's fucking with my guitar, talking about this guitar sounds so great because of it's just a solid piece of mahogany. And I'm like, yeah, it has a maple cap, but yeah. Because that Les Paul only has one pickup, you know what I'm saying? So the body's all just solid wood. There's not that extra hole. So you get even more resonations.
So Jody, you got a little time with him, and that's what you guys talked about. You talked guitar, of course, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I did make sure to thank him, you know, because he was my total inspiration as a child. The only reason I even wanted to play guitar was that guy. So, I mean, I thanked him for that, of course. But yeah, we were just talking about guitar, and he was talking about when he goes to the guitar store, he doesn't even plug in the Les Paul. He wants to just hear it, you know, resonate in the room without an amp because, you know, that's where your tone's coming from is the wood. But anyhow, he was telling me that Paul, one time he saw him over at Manny's Music in New York somewhere, and Paul was like weighing up Les Pauls by the pound and shit, which was pretty cool. The greatest was at the end of the very end of the day, all that was left was like Lonnie, Joe, myself, and his wife, and I don't know if his kids were still there or not, and then like a couple of the people at the restaurant that were coming in to open at 5, and I was like, we were just standing around out in the sun just talking to Ace, like Lonnie and I, and I had my camera going, and I was trying to be kind of nonchalant about it, because, you know, I don't want to be, but you know me, I want to capture it so we can have it for the show and shit, and after like a couple of minutes, he goes, why are you holding your phone like that? I go, oh, I don't know. He goes, don't make a movie.
Yes, don't be making a movie of me.
I was like, all right. It was pretty funny.
It was pretty good. I could not resist.
Look, not just for the show, but for your own life, man.
Exactly.
This is...
I'm standing out of the freaking corner with Ace and Lonnie.
Think about it. It's just me, Jody, and Ace Frehley just standing there outside. There's no one else around. It's just the three of us.
What about when those two people walked by? They didn't even notice that it was fucking
Ace. They didn't know
Ace
who he
Frehley.
Was. They just walked by like, there's some two punks and this old guy standing outside this restaurant. I don't know. And they just kept walking by. I was like, Jesus, do you know who this guy is?
Are you fucking clueless? Yeah, I got all that on video, so I'll shoot it to you guys. We won't put it up since Ace did. He called you out.
So, Lonnie, you got some like alone time with him?
Yeah, not a whole lot of alone time with him, but
did you have a conversation that you were like asking questions or?
Not really.
I liked when you went up and like Lonnie had we also got pictures taken at the beginning. And at the end, they gave us these photos so we could have them sign those, too. And Lonnie goes...
So, we're supposed to, like, write down our names so he could sign our 8x10s because he can't hear anything. And I wrote down on a piece of paper, to Lonnie, L-O-N-N-I-E, and I have horrible penmanship. And he goes, what's that, L-O-M-I-E? I go, no, it's L-O-N-N-I-E. He goes, well, learn how to write. He goes, that's why I write in all caps so people can tell what I'm writing. I go, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I like when you were like, hey, this is from when I met you an hour ago.
Oh, yeah. So like, I walk up there and I hear him the 8x10. I go, Ace. I go, this picture is from when I met you like 1 hour ago. And he's like, oh. I go, look, you and I are wearing the same thing we were wearing then.
Ace thought that was hilarious.
He got a kick out of it. He thought it was funny.
That was great.
Well, yeah, I'm glad you guys had such a great time, man.
It was cool to see Ace just chilling out because even if you were at the back of that room, you were still only like 10 feet away from the guy. You know what I mean? It wasn't like some big thing. We were just all just kind of crowded around him. It was really cool. And to see him just kind of dicking around. For him to even touch my guitar, you know, that's just cool. But just to see him, you know, just fucking around, jamming, and it was just cool. It was kind of cooler than the Gene thing because Ace was just doing his thing, you know? Whereas yeah, the Gene thing, they're kind of just like...
I think today was cooler because it was more intimate, where there's only like 15 people there, and it was just Ace just kind of just bullshitting around with
yeah, because he wasn't getting mobbed. We all knew we had plenty of time, you know? It wasn't like...
Yeah, and I was like, I'm like, okay, Ace is going to sign autographs today, right now. And people like lined up, and Joe's like, there's no need to line up. He's not going anywhere. Just everybody just chill out. It was so relaxed and so cool and so different from any other KISS event I've ever experienced. It was awesome.
Yeah, mine too. It was the best KISS thing I've ever done, probably.
Yeah.
The 95 convention was pretty fucking awesome. But, I mean, you know, I got to meet the Revenge lineup at the time, but it was just like they just shuffled you through and they signed your shit real quick and that was it. You know what I mean? Whereas this was like, even when we weren't like directly interacting with Ace, we could just sit there and watch him drinking his coffee at this little table, which was like 5 feet away, you know, while we're just sitting there bullshitting about what we might get signed or whatever, you know. And Maria got that. Maria, this chick Maria got Ace to sign her leg, and he freaking signed it like from her knee to her ankle, like huge.
He like drew all over her leg, like drew planets and stars like all over her leg. That tattoo's gonna cost her a fucking fortune.
At least like a grand, probably. I don't know. But yeah, like her whole damn leg, pretty much. Whole, you know, from her knee to her ankles. It was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, man, it's awesome because I'm sitting listening to you guys, and I got a smile from ear to ear because y'all are like pumping on a high right now.
Yeah, we just got back.
It's so awesome. It's so awesome. Anything else?
I don't know. There's so much shit that happened, you know what I mean?
But yeah, it's like still resonating right now. Yeah, it was
just the whole weekend. It was a pretty magical KISS weekend, you know?
Absolutely. So, all right, so let's make sure that we thank Joe.
Oh yeah, thanks, Joe.
Yeah, Joe Waddell. He was fantastic. He was not only Ace's chauffeur for the weekend, he was Gene's chauffeur for the weekend. He hooked Jody and I up to be his assistants for the weekend, and it was fantastic. It yeah. was something I never thought I'd experience in my entire life.
Yeah, it was on that level for sure.
Yeah, that is.
He's doing a great job on the Facebook page too. He really is.
We should plug that right now.
It's Gene Simmons Vault Club on Facebook. Joe Waddell's an admin on there, and he does a great job running it. And if you're interested in what people are getting signed by Gene, or if you're interested in what people are putting on their, having Gene sign on their vaults, it's a great place to go.
Absolutely.
Podcast Rock City.
Okay, so there is some news. I want to make sure that we talk about it, and we could probably spend 10 minutes on it ourselves, but tickets for the Indie Expo went on sale this week, and man, it's selling like hotcakes. So if you have not purchased your ticket for the Indie Expo yet, you need to go online to the Indie Expo and, hey, get some tickets, man. You know, everybody's going to be there. Jody's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Sonny's going to be there. Lon, are you coming?
No, because my wife gets her master's degree on Saturday, and then Mother's Day is Sunday. And let me tell you, I can get out of trouble with one of them, but not both of them at the same time.
Right. Well, you've got some good things at least that you're going to be doing, man. That is awesome. Tell your wife congratulations from us. Yeah.
Dude,
that's awesome, Mike.
LaRue was there Saturday. I even told him, why would you do it on that weekend? It makes it so much harder for all of us. It was right after you were telling me about what was going on with you, Lonnie. And we even said, man, we need to tell Keith. I did. I was like, dude, why would you do it on this weekend?
I just can't do it. Because I can bribe one up, but not both of them at the same time.
Right. And my original plan was I was going to drive home Sunday, like Saturday night, rather. But now, fuck, man, I want to see Fraley's Comet. I don't want to miss that, dude, you know? So I'm just going to have to take a gamble and try not to get in trouble. I mean, she's coming with me. You know what I mean? We'll already be there. So...
Yeah, I'm going to drive home late, even if it gets done at 11. I'll just be home at 3:30 in the morning, I guess. I don't care.
On Sunday or Saturday?
Sunday.
Okay.
Sunday night.
So awesome.
This guest list is ridiculous.
Yeah, Sonny, read the guest list.
All right, so Saturday confirmed guests: Eric Singer, Ace Frehley, Bob Kulick, Michael James Jackson, Brent Fitz, Todd Kearns, Lydia Chris, Carl Cochran, Robert Fleischman, Roman Hernandez, and Bill Starkey. And Saturday's live performance is Eric, Bob, Todd, Brent, and Ace. Sunday's expo confirmed guests: Ace, Bruce, Bob, Anton Figg, Mark Slaughter, John Regan, Todd Howarth, Brent Fitz, Todd Kearns, Bobby Rock. And the Sunday live performance is Bruce and Bob Kulick's band with special appearance by Ace Frehley. So my set list from last week is doable, by the way. And then it says, and by the way, I savanted that because I did that before this thing came out.
Savanted.
and then it says other special surprises, which, well, all of Fraley's Comets here, and well, technically half of Slaughter's here too. So
right, dude, I didn't know Anton was going to be there. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I've never met Anton Figg. Have you?
No,
me neither.
He's such a great drummer, dude.
I know. I'm already sitting around going, I think I'm going to just get him to sign my Unmasked poster.
Oh yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Over Peter's face, I guess.
Right over Peter's face.
So wrong. So wrong.
I'm just kidding. Okay, so you guys out there, you know, this is your opportunity. Not only will you get to see, you know, Ace, which is cool, I guess, but Podcast Rock City guys will be there. And Julian's
going to be there. Julian will be there.
Maybe Julian too. Will be there as well.
Yes. He and I have chatted it up a bit about... what's going on, and he's excited. We're all excited. It's going to be so much fun. Make sure, all right, go online right now. Click, 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 buy your tickets. There's photo op tickets too. You can buy a photo op so you can guarantee your picture with Ace or whoever you want.
Yeah,
you know,
can even get the photo with Ace and Bruce at the same time.
Yep. Yeah.
That's my two dudes. That's what I would like to do.
Yeah. That's so sweet, man. It's going to be awesome. All right, so I guess that's it for the day. Jody, do you have anything to add?
I would add, sorry, everyone, for gushing like a little schoolgirl, but I just got home from this amazing thing, and I was a little excited. But thanks for listening. And Lonnie, it was really cool to hang out. I appreciate you turning me on to this whole thing. Otherwise, I'd have been sitting at home fucking boohooing all weekend watching it on freaking YouTube. Weekend, yeah. I appreciate you, bro.
No, man. No problem, man. You're the first person I thought of.
That's absolutely. What's up.
Sonny, you got anything to add?
Thanks, everybody, for listening. It is an unbelievable time to be a KISS fan. That's for damn sure. Too Amen. Many cool things going on. Yeah.
Absolutely. Lonnie, let's tell everybody where they can hear your show.
You can always hear me weekly on the KISS FAQ podcast, kissfaq.com. You can find us in the discussion. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us on iTunes, Spreaker, Google Play, we're a weekly KISS podcast, and we discuss current events. Julian Gill is our host, author of many unbelievable KISS books, so yeah. Check us out.
And you know what? Before we get out of here, now we've completed the four-way, so to speak.
Nice!
We've had Julian, Mark, Ken, and now finally Lonnie hits PRC. Finally!
The more popular MMMM. Male.
Yep. Wow. So that's really cool, though. I mean, FAQ to me is the best weekly video KISS thing on YouTube. I mean, bar none.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys know what I'm going to say. We love podcasts, and we love KISS podcasts, including KISS FAQ. And you're going to hear the commercials for all those shows that we love. Maybe, I don't know. After this, in 3, 2, 1, peace.
I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growinguprock.com.
That's growinguprock.com. GROWINUPROCK.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey, everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this,
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll, and it's always free.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
Sitting around with time to kill.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood.
Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation behind. We're going nowhere, and that's just fine.
During a...
Holy shit, Joe.
What do you call it?
I think he went to Jen Bell.
Are you there?
Dude, you went like totally T-Pain on us again.
Yeah.
It was like,
how about now?
Now it's fine.
Okay, that was really freaking weird.
I don't know.